Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, welcome. Welcome to Abundant Life International this morning. We thank God for the worship. We thank God for everything. Before we sit down, I would like us to do our confession this morning. Ready? Go. 2024, my year of God-class exploits and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in Him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being, born of the seed of God Himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places, and I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessing. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my father, and I am the joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are fallen. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Kermit Bekondo, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, the gardens by a river, like sweet-smelling aloes the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own buckets and have your own channels of rich blessings and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory, and who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be seated, please. Praise the Lord. This confession always stirs something in me. There's a lot of possession there. A lot of things for us to put. There's a lot of homework. Let me put it that way. There's a lot of homework for us. It's written down. Not just for us to recite it like we are in kindergarten, where we speak things and we don't remember. You know? It's all up. That's how it goes. But it was written for us as a homework. Last week we talked about taking responsibility. Right? How is that going on? Are we taking responsibilities? Are we identifying things in our lives where we will not shift the blame? Take the responsibility yourself. You know, we are in a season where people blame others a lot. This season is a season of election in the United States. Nobody takes responsibility for what they've done. Whatever is happening is because of some other person. So there's a spirit of, I don't want to take responsibility. I don't want to take ownership. But that's the world. God is calling us to take responsibility, because that's the beginning. You see, it says, 2024, my year of God-class exploits. This morning, I would like us to talk about who we are. You know, the pastor in the whole month of February talked about, born of God, I know who I am. Born of God, I know who I am. The question this morning for us is, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are, not through your eyes? Do you know who you are through God's eyes? Hallelujah. Because we have been born of God. The pastor has been stressing. We have been born of God by an incorruptible. Right? If we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. I think it's 1 Peter 2, 23. Oh, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Say, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born of, not of corruptible seed. It means When you are born of God, you do not have blemish. God's gene does not have blemish. God's, you know, in biology they say a human being has 42 chromosomes. The mother gives 21, the father gives 21. And in that chromosome, whatever you are supposed to be, look like, resemble, colors of your eyes, everything about you, your height, your everything is coded in those chromosomes. Right? But with God, God has 42 chromosomes that he has given us, and it cannot be corrupted. Amen. Biology has what they call mutation. There is no mutation in God. We tend to mutate ourselves. We have believers who have mutated themselves. Right? They are saying, well, the Bible says this, but the Bible did not really mean to say this. This is what the Bible meant. Okay? They're trying to change the word of God to suit them. What God is saying is we have been born by an incorruptible seed. We should hang by that. And if we are going to do God-class exploits, if we are going to do what God would have done, then we are supposed to believe that we are incorruptible, that the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel is what bought us. Like the pastor put it, the cross of Jesus was the womb through which we passed and we were delivered. God-class exploits can only be accomplished by those who believe that they were bought with the price that is incorruptible. We're bought with a price that has a power. So we take upon ourselves the genes of God. Now, when you begin to believe these things, God will bring around you situations where you will exercise your God-class nature, your God nature. Last week, I told you about taking responsibilities, that in your family you should stand and say, you know what? If there's nobody, I will take responsibility to be the gatekeeper of this family, to be the gatekeeper of your neighbors, to be the gatekeeper of your class, your school, your work. And when you begin to do that, I am telling you, God is going to bring around you situations that will demand that you exercise these responsibilities. I was at one of our sons. He plays basketball. We were there in his practice on Tuesday, and I was just sitting. And the coach, somebody just came and sat by me. And just like that, we were sharing. And then he started sharing some personal stuff to me without me asking. You know? And he said, I'm going through this health challenge. I was on the phone with the doctors. I'm in a group, a panel. He said a panel of doctors for hours. And I'm like, why is he sharing this with me? This is so personal. You know, for those of you who are in the medical field, there's this thing they call the HIPAA law. You know, when you know what somebody's going through or their medical condition, you cannot tell anybody. Unless the person is the one telling you. He comes and you know, I worked in the health setup when I just started, when I came to America. So I know about this health, this HIPAA insurance and law. And so he was telling me. And you know, I told him. I said, you know what? I'll take responsibility. I'll pray for you. And in one of our morning devotions, the Spirit just led me to pray for him, and I prayed for him. And when I prayed for him, I knew in the room that my wife was like, what's going on here? I said, yeah, I have to pray for him. He came and he sat by me and he told me what he was going through without me asking. And so God is bringing around him, around me, situations that people go through so that I can pray for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have to be sensitive. You have to be sensitive. If God is saying that this is a year of God-class exploits, trust me, God is going to bring around us situations that will demand that we do God-class exploits. Remember the story of Daniel. If you look at Daniel chapter 6, you know there are three people I love in the Bible so much. David, Daniel, Joseph. David, because he trusted God. If you read the book of David, you see somebody who trusted God in all he did. Daniel will not compromise with the world. Whatever you do, now Daniel says, nope, my God comes first. Joseph had the capacity to forgive. Joseph had the capacity to see the big picture. If you hurt him, he was hurt by his brothers. But he told them, what you did was for evil, but God meant it for good. So what you did is small, because the lives that have been saved by me being PM of Egypt, that's what matters. So we have this story in the book of Daniel where Daniel was like a president. He was a president, right? That's what, there were three presidents. If you look at that book, that story, there were three presidents. Daniel was one of them. And Daniel did not hide his faith. He did not. So the other presidents, they wanted Daniel to fall. They were jealous of Daniel. Why? Because Daniel had shown exceptional commitment and skill. Daniel, whatever he did, prospered. You know, amongst the three of them, he was the top. They made him the ruler of even the three of them. It's just like Joseph, wherever he went. Potiphar's house, he excelled. Potiphar said, rule my house. He went to prison. In prison, Joseph was still the best prisoner. Right. If that exists. The best prisoner. And they made him the head. The same thing with Daniel. These are young men who did God-class exploits because they had a commitment with God which they did not want to compromise. And so when these presidents realized that, hey, Daniel, we are going to do something, went behind Daniel's back and met the king and told him, hey, king, we want you to come up with a decree. They had studied the land. They had studied the ways of the land. They had studied what it would take to pull Daniel down. Trust me, there are people who understand this world and the way it operates, who can change things just to put you on the disadvantage. Just to put you on the disadvantage. They study the laws. They study the processes. They study the methods. And they make sure that if you just fall short, they will use that to crucify you. Remember, that's how they crucified the Lord Jesus. You know? There was nothing wrong he did. Because even Pilate said, I see nothing wrong in the Lord. I see nothing wrong. But the world, the people of the world were determined to crucify him. So this is how the presidents, they said, we'll deal with you. We'll deal with you, Daniel. And so they asked the king, look, you are king. We want people to worship you. For the next 30 days, everybody must bow to you. You are the only one. The king, with his pride, they touch his pride. He's like, oh yeah, something good. But you know that they had observed, because the Bible says, Daniel always went into his office and opened his window to the east. And three times a day, he will bow and pray. They knew Daniel's methods, his ways, they knew his life. And so they said, you know what, this is what we are going to do. We are going to come up with something that will push Daniel to fall, because they knew that Daniel would not take it. Can you imagine somebody who fellowships with God 3 times a day and you are telling him for 90 days, it means he will miss 90 times of fellowship. 90 times of fellowship. Daniel said, it cannot be. It cannot happen. But why am I bringing this? I'm bringing this to make us know that because Daniel, they knew him to be somebody who was continually, without fail, he would serve the Lord. Continually. That's the testimony they had about him. That he was somebody who was continually serving his God. They had observed that this man does not have days of rest in his service for God. There is nothing in him that indicates that he can even rest. Continually serving his God. But Daniel said, no, I will not close the door or the window so that people will not see me. That's not what he did. Daniel did not do that. Daniel said, I will continue my life as I have always done. I will not compromise in any way. I will do it. And if God wants to save me, he will save me. If he doesn't want to save me, that's fine. I'd rather have peace with God than with man. And because Daniel was continually serving his God, he did not compromise. God stood with him. And as the story goes, he was put in the lion's den. And the same king who put him there could not even sleep in the night. You see how God is putting unrest in the hearts of people who can help you. Amen? God is putting unrest in the heart of people who can help you. You remember what he says in our confession. He said, I am finding favor in unexpected places. These people wanted the king to really kill Daniel. But the Bible says even the king had unrest. He was the first person to wake up in the morning. The first, the king. He could have sent that, go and check if Daniel is still alive. He went himself. He went himself and shouted, Daniel! And Daniel said, oh, king, rest. I am here. I am here. Relax. My God took control. This is a God-class exploit. That I did not wake up in the morning to do, but God did it. Amen. Amen? Daniel did not plan for this, but God did it. So when we say this is our year of God-class exploits, we should be prepared to take opportunity and advantage of situations that come our way. There will be people who will come to you with certain situations that you will be like, what is going on? What should I do? And as the pastor told us, there are situations where God has given us the power to speak over. We do not need the pastor. Amen? Amen? When your child has a headache in the house, the first thing that you have to do is you take the temperature. Because when you go to the hospital, they will ask you, what's the temperature? That's something we do not know back home, in Cameroon. And I go to the hospital and the doctor will ask, what was the temperature? I don't know. We always put our hand on the head. And we always put our hand on the head. And then from there, we'll be like, this is above 100. Then, yeah, you want to take your child to the hospital. You feel, where is that temperature? I don't want to be embarrassed to be seen as the parent who does not have a first aid kit in the house. Amen. Yes. Amen. But we have to be ready, is what I'm saying. We have to be ready, because if we have to do God-class exploits, it will come. And God is reminding us early this year for a reason. We are March. We are in March. We still have 9 months. And in those 9 months, there will be things that will come up where we will not go as pastors. We should not walk with pacifiers in the mouth like babies who will not understand when these things come. When they come, we should stand up and we know what to do. Amen. When they come our way, we should stand up and we will know what to do. Amen. We are born with the incorruptible. Amen. We have no corruption in us. Amen. We have to stand with it. We have to understand this. And the sad thing today is that the devil is fighting tooth and nail for us not to understand our position in God. Tooth and nail. He's doing everything. He's bringing before us potash. You remember potash? You remember Esau? Esau despised his birthright. That birthright is your salvation. Can be compared to your salvation. Esau despised his birthright. And when you read the story of Jacob, you begin to ask yourself, why did God not tell Isaac? Say, it is Jacob you are blessing. Why did God not tell Isaac? Say, Isaac, it is Jacob you are blessing. Why? Because Esau had already sold his birthright. It is a law. God could not intervene. Because Esau had already, he did not like it. Why would you get the blessing of a first child when you despised it? God said, no, I cannot intervene. Because God would have intervened. He intervened with Jacob when Jacob wanted to bless Joseph's kids. Remember? Jacob put his hand like this. Then Joseph said, no, dad, put it like that. Because the hand for Ephraim and for Manasseh, God said, no, Ephraim is the lower, but he will be the higher. I have already seen it. God had shown it to him. Ask yourself, why did God not tell Isaac, that is not Esau? And the Bible tells us, I think in Hebrews or so, where it says God did not like Esau because Esau did not love his birthright. These are spiritual laws that if you break, we have been born into God. We have the genes of God. It means we can do things the way God did it. We have been coded, to use the programming language. We have been coded with God's gene to do God's exploits. And the devil is fighting tooth and nail so that we do not recognize this. We do not see who we are in God. He's feeding us things to distract us away from seeing who we are. Potash can be anything in your life. Anything that will take you away from God. Anything that will take you away from continually serving God. It's a potash. We should identify these things that will make us not to understand our position in God. The year of God-class exploits demands that we know who we are. There is a reason why we have to emphasize on the responsibilities, taking responsibilities, and knowing who you are. Today, there's a lot of confusion in the world. Some people don't even know who they are. Some people want to be what they are not. If you go out there, some people are telling you, I am this, I am that. A lot of confusion. Same thing now in the church. People don't know who they are, or that the capacity that they have in them, the things that they can do. They go with emotions. Well, I'll just be, the regular Christian. I go to church. I spoke about this last week. I just go to church on Sundays and Nobody can, you know, say I am not a committed believer. You know, life goes on and on. I take care of every, when I go to work, I clock in and I clock out. I do what I'm supposed to do. But that's not what God is calling us to in this year. This year, God is making sure that we come back to Him and understand who we are. That we tap into that treasure. We tap into His power. We have His genes. We belong to God. The devil does not want us to see this. See, when your life is out of order, you will not see your potential. When your life is out of order, meaning that you are living an independent life, a life independent of God. You know, you say you desire salvation, but you don't want the power that comes with it. You say, no, that one is for other people. It's not for me. I am a bench warmer. My role is to come to church, and that's where mine ends. If you want to take me one step higher, no, I don't have grace for that. My grace ends here. I don't have it. God is saying that no. You know, the pastor said Satan is looking for openings in our lives. Just looking for openings. We give him these openings, he will take it. He will use it. He will make sure he uses it. He will make sure, you know, we have been called to dominate. Can we have Genesis chapter 1 verse 28? We have been called to dominate the earth. We have been called to possess the land. Say, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Dominion. That is what Jesus Christ restored. On the cross, Jesus Christ restored this dominion, and the Holy Spirit is there to ensure that we keep it. Amen. Jesus Christ restored our dominion, and the Holy Spirit is there to ensure that we keep it. But are we keeping this dominion? Have we even recognized dominion? Have we recognized that we are supposed to dominate instead of being dominated? Have we recognized it? Using a sports analogy, there was a time when you heard that the Golden State was coming in town. You just knew that maybe somebody is sick or somebody has had a technical. If not, they will beat you well. They will dominate. They will beat you until... And everybody knew that they had a system to dominate. It's a system to dominate. I recall I watched an interview of a coach. And they asked him, and then the last thing he said is, I got to go to work. Then they asked him why. He said, but have you seen how those guys play? He was talking about the Golden State. That's another coach in the NBA. He said, I got to go to work because those guys play with some dominance. Dominance. People recognized it. You know? But we thank God in 2016, everything worked together for good. Amen? 2016, for those of you who are sports fans, everything worked together. There was a technical year. There was a shot here. There was a block here. Everything worked together. A team that did not have an opening, that did not give them a chance. They were underdogs. came and won the championship over a dominating power. Like somebody said, I think it was Oprah. She said she came to Cleveland, you know, to do some checkup, and she asked the driver, "Oh, what's going on here?" So yeah, the Cavs are playing the Golden State, and they asked the man said, "So what do you think?" He said, "Well, all is to God. You just give God. If God says we'll win, we'll win, because the Golden State have proven dominance. We have been called to dominate." Amen. We have been called to dominate. People should come to us with their problems. People should come to us for solutions. That should be your cry. Say, "Lord, why? Why am I hearing this bad now? Why am I hearing what happened? I should have heard this thing from the beginning, so that I would have had an opportunity to pray, to intervene." Amen. I should have had an opportunity to intervene. People should not be sick or have issues in your family or your neighbors or your friends, and they don't come to you. You should ask yourself, what is wrong? You are not living a dominating life. You are not having an impact. You are not having an impact. That's why, because people don't see you as a source. They don't see you as a solution bringer. They see you like one of them. Why should I tell him or her? You know, maybe he will just go and be, you know, telling others. God has called us to know who we are in the Lord. We have been born with an incorruptible seed. There is no mutation in this seed. The seed does not mutate. We should believe this with all our hearts. We have been called to dominate. We have not been called to be spectators. Ask yourself, what is the testimony of who you are? What is your testimony of who you are? What is the testimony of who you are? Say, we have to grind ourselves to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Because it's only when we go towards God that his light shines to us, through us. See, Jesus said we are the light of the world. And also he went ahead and said, look, you cannot build a city on a mountain and you hide it. You cannot do it. The city has no choice unless the city wants to turn off all its light in the dark. Right? In the dark, you turn off all your lights. The dark, when there are problems, you turn off. No, you cannot. So when the darkness comes, when people are going through darkness, they will look up and they see your light. And they will come. They will come. We have to go towards God, go towards Jesus, know Jesus more so that his light can shine through us. As the pastor said, you cannot win in the battle of life without the revelation of Jesus. You cannot win. In this battle that we are in, it's a battle. Whether we like it or not, it's a battle. And if you are approaching this battle from a place of comfort, you have lost it. If you are approaching this battle from a place of nonchalance, you know, it doesn't affect me. No, you have lost it. You have lost it. You should have a warfare mentality. Amen. We are in the days where if you don't have a warfare mentality, you will become plunder. You will be. They will pick you by the road. That's where they'll find you by the road, and they'll pick you and wipe your wounds. You don't want that to happen. You want to have a warfare mentality. Because God has given us his nature. God has given us his gene. But the sad thing is we are not recognizing this. We are not living the way God wants us to see. We are not demonstrating this. You know? So this morning, the question I would like you to ponder over, to reflect over. Do you recognize that you have been born with that incorruptible seed? Do you recognize this? Do you recognize that you have been given dominion? Do you recognize this? You know, somebody sent me a video on Friday, and I was, you know, sometimes I just switch off. So he sent a video on Friday. I say, round two. I say, what's happening? He said, the fight is over. I said, what fight is over? He said, this fight now. Then I remember that there was a fight. There was a fight. For those of you who are still, you know, who like boxing. There was a fight, a boxing fight. Where somebody who has never been a boxer in life decided to go and fight with boxers. Not even low-class boxers, you know. With heavyweight, the highest level in boxing, you decide to go and fight them. He should have assessed himself. That is not your place. You have to know who you are, brethren. You have to know your limitations. You have to know what God has given you. You just have to know it. And he said, Kemet, round two. I said, what? And then to make things worse, he sent a video. And I looked at the video, I said, oh Lord, this is bad. I said, thank God they left him and they said, he's alive. Because this man fell and his leg, I'm like, what is going on? It's like Anthony Joshua was like, I have to deal with this man to make him know that this is not his class. Yes. To make him know that this is not his class, I have to deal with him. He should understand his level. This guy was an MMA fighter, mixed martial arts fighter. And he fought his first fight with one boxer. I think that boxer is a believer. Oh yeah, the first person he fought with is a believer. Who always, after he has beaten you, and they ask him, his first thing he says is, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. After hitting somebody's face, you thank the Lord. I am sure this guy had compassion on this, your other guy, you know. He even went and reduced his size, you know. He said, let me not be too heavy, because if I box this man while I'm heavy, I don't know what will happen. He went and reduced his size. And when this guy, they said he was draw, everybody said, no, that other MMA fighter won. But Anthony Joshua said, nah, this territory is my territory. I'm going to fight you as though I'm fighting a heavyweight person. Two rounds. Oxygen. I hear they gave him oxygen. They gave him oxygen down there and said, take it. Go. This is not your level. We have to recognize who we are in God. We have to take upon ourselves battles that we can win. Amen. God is calling us to God-class exploits because we have his gene. We have to recognize who we are, brethren. We should not assume things. We have to know who we are because it's very important in life. Not only your spiritual life, your physical life as well. You have to know who you are. Don't get a job when you cannot deliver. Don't do it. Like somebody told me, go and do this program. I said, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah. But then don't come and say you are entry level. Oh. You have to lie, oh, 10 years experience. I said, no, that's not for me, sorry. I said, and then he said, yeah, no, do it. I said, but when you go, you will not deliver now. You go 10 years and they give you something to do. You are turning your eyes. He said, no, that's no problem. They'll fire you after 3 months. So when they fire you 3 times, you must have learned. You become a pro of firing. And so you will learn as on the job. I'm like, no. I cut my coat according to my size. I said, no, I will not compromise. I cannot go and say I have 10 years experience in a system which I have seen only for 2 weeks. So you take me through a boot camp for 2 weeks and you want me to go and say I have been an expert in this thing for 10 years. I will not compromise. That's not what I will do. I said no. If I'm learning something new, I will get in as an entry level. Brethren, that's what I did. I went and I learned a system and I got in as an entry level with entry level perks. Means an entry level salary. They'll treat you as an entry level person. That's okay. Show your worth and learn. And I tell you, 2 weeks ago, I started a new job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I had a bargaining power. I said, look, this is how much I'm worth. I'm not entry level. I have experience. I've been in this field for 8 years, so I know it. I can talk because I have experience. I have cut my coat according to my size. You cannot give me what is lower than what I know I am worth. Amen? If you want to give me more, that's blessing. But to give me lower than what I know I am worth, you cannot. And God backed me. They came looking for me. Like somebody used to say, he came looking for me, oh. He came a long way. Jesus came looking for me. They came looking for me. He called and said, are you interested? I said, Lord. You know, your name will be remembered in unexpected places. Praise the Lord. Born of God, I know who I am. You have to know who you are. You have to know your capacities. You are a student. I see students here. You have to know who you are. You have to know your capacities. You have to know if you are not good in math. You have to work hard to be good in math. You have to find out what it is, what it takes to be good in math. You know, if you know that you don't know a way of doing things, ask or do practice. We have 3 boys and we are looking at these boys, the way they are growing. We learn and see a lot of things. There's one there who will always practice. He will always practice. He knows why he's practicing. He wants to be good. He wants to be good. And when he's practicing, he will call his brother and say, come and practice with me. And he will be crying, say, I need somebody to practice with me. You know? Because he has identified that, look, in order to be good, you have to practice. You have to know who you are. You have to understand this. That's the cry of God this morning. My children, know who you are. In God. Know who you are. Your identity in God. Your identity should be drawn from God, not the world. The people of the world should not determine your identity. You should not want to to be like them, to compromise. You should not. You should be invited in places and they know what to expect. I always tell my wife, they will not invite us. Yes, I said they will not. Because they know that we are spoilers. When we come somewhere, people don't want to, they are not free. Because we have drawn a line that this is our life. We will not compromise. And so we hear things happen. I say, I told you, we will not be invited. Yeah. We have to draw the line, brethren. We have to do it. We have to, because if you don't do it, the world out there is so cruel. The world is so cruel. We are in the days where the world just wants, you know, seeking attention here and there. They want you to commit to them. They want you to say things this certain ways and all that stuff. If you don't know who you are and your identity, you are just lost with them. Yeah. But this year we have been called for God-class exploits. Yeah. You don't do God-class exploits the way the world does. Yeah. You do God-class exploits by distinguishing yourself. Yeah. Remember Daniel. David. The Bible says when David went to give food for his brethren, there's something which the elder brother Eliab told him. Where have you left the poor sheep of our father? With whom have you left it with? There's those same sheep that you are saying, poor field sheep, is the same sheep that he used to boast, right? That's what he told Saul. You know, I was taking care of my father's sheep. A lion and a bear came, and I said, nope. And then Saul said, wow, this is something else. You know, he knew who he was. David had no doubt in his heart about who God was and who he was in God. He had no doubt. He believed so much that, look, like the pastor said, when Goliath was running towards David, what did David do? He did not say, he's coming. Let me see how I can angle. Maybe I should just wait for him to come. No. He ran towards Goliath. Say, you are, I am running towards my problem and I will subdue it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Unless one who knows who he is or who they are can run towards their problem and subdue it.
Amen.
When the problem comes, you'll say, okay, it has come. We'll figure out a solution for it.
That's right.
I'm not moved.
Amen.
There's always a solution. If it's called problem in mathematics, it means there is always a solution. In life, if something comes your way, there is always a solution. There's always a solution because you know who you are. You know that your God has packaged everything for you. Made a way out for you. Nothing comes your way that he has not made a way out. And so when you have these things come your way, where do you go to? To the God who packaged you towards these things. You have a package in you that you have to use. Hallelujah. You have a package in you that you have to use. God has given you insights, wisdom, knowledge. You have it in you. If you are not using it, it means it's because you have not yet understood that you have it. That you have it. You know, even Saul tried to give David his armor and his shield. His sword. They say he held his sword. He said, nah, this, I'm not used to this. I don't have 10 years experience like you. I will do my entry level. I will go with my sling. That's what I know. It's a sling. You have a sword. I'm not yet at that level. You know, he eventually used a sword, remember? Because he became a very skillful fighter. At some point, he realized that this sling, I know it killed Goliath, but in the battlefield, I cannot be using a sling. No way. There is no way for that. But at that point, that is what he needed.
That's right.
Amen? Why? Because that is what he was used to. That is what he had used before. He was not pushed into doing something he was not used to. In other words, he was not pushed to compromise. He did not compromise because it was the king that gave him. Your manager cannot ask you to do something because it's your manager. He said, you do it. And you know very well that it's wrong. Amen? I know of somebody who now tender in their 2 weeks notification. They told me. They said, look, I went and this person said I should put it this way. I said, then they said, no, I cannot put it this way. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Right. You don't compromise. Because tomorrow, if something happens, it is your name that is on that document. Why did you put this thing? Is this what was there? You know, we have to stand. I mean, it's a dear friend of ours. Dear friend. But said, you know what? Because of this, 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I am out of here. I have not been called to do God-class exploits. And then I compromise like this. This is so beneath me. This is not what I've been called to do this year. No, this is not it. I have exploits to do. Why would I be compromising with small things like this, jeopardizing all my future? You know, and you know, with believers, as I always say, the unbelievers will do it and they will not be caught. Nobody will see. There will be 1,000 piles of people examining and they will remove one or two from that pile. It will be your own. I am telling you, it is the way God operates. It's a spiritual law. You cannot. The unbeliever is an unbeliever. He will do what unbelievers do. Okay? Even if he is caught, he will still lie on top of it. Even if they tell him to do remediation, in his remediation process, he will put a lie. That I did it, we have done it. You come here, we have done remediation. But you as a believer, trust me. So that's why this year we have been called to understand, to know who we are. We cannot emphasize it more than this. We have been called to know who we are. And we have been called to exercise who we are. There is knowing who you are and knowing what you have. We have been called to know what we have. We have weapons that cannot work well if it has obstacles. And these obstacles are potash, like I said. God has given us weapons. It's like going to fight a battle. You have the most powerful machine gun. But all your bullets inside, they are faulty. It has no use. You can shoot as you like. You only it will not come out. Because something is there that is hindering it. There is a compromise somewhere that you have to fix. There is a forgiveness that you have to... There is somebody you have to forgive. There is somebody you have to ask for forgiveness. You know, we are in the generation where everybody is hurt. What you did, I'm so offended. Hurt my feelings. My feelings are hurt. You know, where you even preach here, you are very careful of what you say. Because the moment you say something, three heads have disappeared from your church.
you will not see them anymore. We are in the days like that where, you see, we easily get hurt. We easily cannot even take rebukes. The pastor cannot tell you something that is wrong. You know, the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love, right? The pastor cannot rebuke you, or you cannot rebuke your brother or tell a sister that, sister, what you said or did was wrong. The sister will be like, who put you judge over me? You know, the same thing Moses thought he was doing something good, you know. They said, who made you judge, Moses? Who made you judge? Human nature. Where in those days, we have to, if we want to do God-class exploits, we have to know who we are, and we have to stop the compromise. We have to stop the doors, you know. We do not have to, stop giving the devil an upper hand. Stop giving the devil an upper hand. Don't give him an opportunity to block your blessing. Amen. Don't give him an opportunity this year to stop you from becoming who God wants you to be. Because the confession has a lot of I am. I am God's offspring. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a chosen generation. I am the light of the world. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. I raise the roof. A lot of eyes. You have to do this. You cannot do these things if you don't recognize who you are. If you don't know that you have been bought with an incorruptible seed that knows no mutation, no defect. There is no defect in God. There is no defect in what God produces. God has produced us whole. We have no defect. And he has given us dominion. He has said we should go out there and have dominion. We should know that when we come across situations, God has given us the capacity to handle them. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up, please. Jesus has restored us to our original state, and the Holy Spirit is here to keep us in the original state. The original state of Genesis 1:28, where we have been called to subdue the earth. We have been called to dominate. This year is a year of dominance. It's a year where we are going to do things which we will ask ourselves, did we really have this in us? We will experience things in our lives, in our families, incantations that people do, even in our dreams. People will want to attack us. I saw an uncle who is blind in one of my dreams this week. A blind uncle in my dream recognized me. I'm like, this is not normal. You cannot be blind in the physical, and in my dream you can see me. And I prayed, I said, Lord, whatever incantation against me, against my family, against our children, whatever incantations, I bring it to naught. No power will prevail, because this year is my year of God class exploits. It's my year of God class exploits. Know who you are. Know who you are. Know that you have God's seed in you. And that seed is incorruptible. That seed opens the avenue for us to operate like God. It makes us operate like God. Do things the way God would have done them. Praise the Lord. Father, you've called us to do God-class exploits, Lord. You have called us, you have given us the genes, your genes. We have your capacities. We can do things the way you do them, Lord. We are little gods, Lord. You've made us little gods before our neighbors, before our family members, before our friends. You have made us sources of hope. You have made us sources of solutions. I pray, Father, that we will live at this level. We'll get to this level where we understand who we are in God. The finished work of the cross that was performed for us. We passed through the cross. We have God-class characteristics. And we will do God-class exploits. May we go with this, Lord. May we believe this in our hearts. May we each and every day learn to know God. Grind to know Jesus. Father, this year we will not want to be left behind. We want to have our own testimony. Our own individual testimonies, Lord. We want to have our own testimonies. We want to be able to say, yes, God did this. We did this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.